from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can hit us up on the Jay Stafflin Tow Service text line. Also, it's the hotline, 913-586-7965. We'll talk more about the Chiefs and their preseason game here in about 10 minutes or so. In particular, one player who once again proved that he has a spot on this roster and maybe even a bigger role than we thought heading into the preseason game. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Plus, a little bit later on today, we'll talk more about tonight's festivities out at Kauffman Stadium. It's the fan day at the K, 96.5.
Another hot dog race for me.
Another hot dog race for you. I think also one of our videos we recorded is going to be on the Jumbotron or Crown Nation tonight. So I'm curious. I haven't seen it. So
I haven't seen it either.
I want to see it a little bit. So head out to the K tonight. It should be a beautiful night, honestly. Highs like 82, 83 today. It should be a really nice night. Carrington and Rob are going to be broadcasting on the drive outside Gate D this afternoon. And then a lot of us from the station are going to be on the air in the 5 o'clock hour with him. So head out there a little early, hang out. You'll see the giant 96.5 The Fan tent outside Gate D.
All right, I'm going to give you the phone number again, 913-586-7965, because I want to know whether or not you think I'm crazy. So that's the phone number.
Yes.
We'll take your thoughts on it, not just to Alex and Drew's, 913-586-7965. This year's Royals team is more talented and a better team than the 2014 Royals were. I'm just going to say it right away, and then I will explain my decision behind it. That first, the starting rotations are not comparable. This one is definitively better. With the addition of Michael Wacha now coming on white hot for two straight months, they have four guys with a sub-4 ERA in this rotation. They have four guys with a sub-3.5 ERA for a good chunk of the season in here. No, the bullpen on the other team is better. I understand that that's the weak part to my argument here. They do not have HDH. They're never going to have HDH. That bullpen is maybe incomparable to maybe any back end of a bullpen in Major League Baseball history. All right, so check mark to them in that. But I will say, the separation in the rotations to me is greater this year to 2014 than the bullpen difference between the 2 years. Now let's get to the offense. They had a lot of really good players on that team. Lorenzo Cain, I think, being the best of that entire unit. If I just go side to side, I mean, come on. Bobby Witt Jr. is the best player on the planet. He's good for 1.5 of those players in the lineup during there. They still have Salvi, except I'd argue they have better hitting Salvi than they did then. He's only gotten better behind the plate or hitting at the plate than then. Vinny is a better middle-of-the-order hitter than Hosmer was. Left-side hitter, plays some first base, has a similar amount of power. Hits for better average. I think he does similar things as Eric Hosmer did. The only argument you could make is maybe depth, because maybe they were better at Garrett Hampson or Adam Frazier level at this. I think it's a better lineup. I think it's a more talented lineup, a more consistent lineup. It scores more runs per game than that offense did. I just think it's a better team. I think this year's team is better than 2014.
I'll be honest, though. I don't know what...
Not 15. I'm not willing to go there yet.
Yeah, I don't know what the real argument, though, against your point, though, is. Because yeah, but that, but when you balance it out, we're talking about not who had the better bullpen in 2014. Duh. We're talking about who had...
Who's the better argument, I'm going to lose in a hurry.
Who's the better baseball team? I mean, they had two all-star pitchers out of the rotation this year, right then and there. Like, that might,
and they have two other guys pitching almost as good as them.
That might end up being into the case. And nobody, you're not saying that this team is going to the World Series. That's not the argument that you're trying to make.
No, but I'm telling you that they have just as good of a chance as that team did going into the postseason.
That is why anytime we get pushback when we have discussed this team over the last month, when they'll have a bad 3 or 4 game stretch and we're like, hey, this isn't good enough. Get in the dance. That team won 89 games. This team is pacing for just above that, right? Yep. At this point in time. So win, regular season win-loss record, not much different. You got in the dance. At that point, you won a 1-game wild card. This year, it'll be a best of 3. So with the pitching staff, you would like your chances even more. This year, there's not a team that's going to win 100 games in all of baseball. Not going to happen, barring somebody just getting hot
for like 38 games. I mean, there's not even enough wiggle room.
With 6 weeks left, Jeff Passan put out the exact numbers. The best records in baseball, Phillies have 73 wins with 6 weeks left. The Dodgers, 73 wins with 6 weeks left. The Orioles, 73. Guardians, 72. The Royals right now are 69-55, and yet they have the second best run differential.
Only 4 wins back.
So nobody's running away. Nope, there's not going to be a 105-win team, and oh man, that is just clearly the best team in baseball. No, that does not.
You know the last time that didn't happen? There wasn't a 100-win team?
Well,
2014.
That's the point. Like, and so, no, I don't think you're wrong that this team could be better. It doesn't guarantee them anything. Like, they have to get it done in the postseason if and when they get there, and you and I both believe they will be in the postseason this year when the dust settles, whether it's division or whether or not it's a wild card team. That, of course, is up in the air for the final 37 plus games or so. But yeah, I mean, I was looking at the 2014 team some more. You know, power numbers are not everything, but do you know the most home runs any one player had that year on the Royals 2014?
25?
Not even that.
Wow, 20?
19.
That's it?
2014 Royals. Alex Cord had 19 home runs that year. Mike Moustakas had 15. Salvi had 17. So, I mean, so that's one just from a lineup perspective.
The offense and the rotation are clear winners in this department.
Right. I mean, they have an MVP candidate this year. They didn't have that in 2014. I agree with you. Salvador Perez is just a better hitter now than he was at that point in time. But the power numbers, I mean, just there are multiple guys on this year's team that have more than the highest, you know, that are going to end up with more than the highest home run total from 2014 RBI wise. I mean, that year, the leader in RBI for the team. Do you have any guess who that was?
I would guess probably, it's Gordon.
Yeah.
Because he led in homers,
but only by 4 over 74.
Vinny's
well, he's got 90 something. Vinny's going to end up with over. They're going to have multiple guys with over 90 this year. Bobby's going to, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, it's not, it's really not close. Remember, that was a team that a lot of people at the All-Star break thought Ned should have been fired, and therefore that was where the team was at. Like, and so I don't think it's that crazy at all that the 2014 team compared to this one on a roster perspective, that this team is better.
If you got an argument on the other side, 913-586-7665. Tell us why we're 7965. Tell us why we're wrong. If you think we're wrong, tell us why we're wrong. I'm curious to know, because you're right. If you really start going through the order and you're telling yourselves, well, I don't know, man. Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier are everyday players for this team. Where was the back end? It wasn't even the back end. Omar Infante played 135 games for the 2014 Royals. And Mike Moustakas played 140 games. And that wasn't the Mike Moustakas you knew. He hit .212 that year with a .271 on base percentage. So if you're telling me, well, MJ is essentially their six-hole hitter, can it be that case? I'm just telling you, Mike Moustakas hit fit for this team a huge chunk of the year and had a .270 on base percentage. So like those players are at least comparable. Bobby Wood Jr. is way ahead of everyone else. And as we pointed out, Salvador Perez was a good offensive player then, but he's even better now. And from the bench perspective, let's not waste our time. That's not what we're talking about. When we're talking,
you know,
about
Danny Valencia,
which team? No. Him and Billy Butler get in fights over like shoe deals? No, I don't want to talk about that, at least on the back end. It meant to be a confidence boost, because you're right. That stat put out by Jeff Passan speaks to the mediocrity of baseball this year, or the balanced nature, if that's the way you want to look at it. The Royals are only four games back of the best record in baseball. They have the second best run differential in baseball. They are just as good as any team in the league. And this goes back to the same argument. People were like, can you really say they're better than the Twins? Like, yes, I can. They're one game difference in the standings. And the Royals have the decided run differential advantage by about 40 runs over that team. Yeah, I can say that they're better. Their rotation is better than just about every other team in the league. Aside from maybe the Mariners or the Phillies.
This whole season, though, we kind of glossed over it a little bit as we were making the case for why this year's team versus 2014. But just the baseball season that we are watching, not just from a Royals perspective, but everybody in baseball, the fact that we aren't going to have a team with 100 wins, it looks like, for the first time in a decade. The fact that the best record is pacing for 95. Remember way back when in May, even when things, you know, when things were also still going really well for the Royals, we're talking about, and, you know, is 90 wins enough to win the division? And look, now fast forward, we know the Guardians have been way better than everybody thought. The Royals have been way better. The Twins have been better. The entire AL Central has been better. But if I would have told you in April that the best record in all of baseball would be 95 wins, you probably would have been like, what are you talking about?
Someone's getting to 104. So
then, like, you would have been like, well, then what is to win the Central? What is it, 80? You know, you would have been like, what? And then fast forward. No, like the Guardians or whoever, I guess the Royals put them in this category. Whoever wins the Central could end up still with the most wins in baseball, which is only going to be 94, 95 wins.
After all that, we thought 87 would get the Central, and it's going to be 94, but it turns out that would have gotten the entire American League.
Crazy.
What do you think wins the American League at this point? Right now, the Royals are pacing for 90 and a half, so 91 wins if you round up, 90 if you round down. But the best teams in baseball are only pacing at like 95. So where
wins
do you
the American League? Central or has
American
the best record?
League.
Oh, just has
what do you think wins the American, like, is the number one seed in the American League? 96? 97? I think someone will get above the 95 number, but it won't be 100.
I think 97, I would think you got about a 97 probably has you with an 80%+ chance to have the number one seed in the American League this year. In the past, that would never have been good enough. But as we said, this is a weird year. And by the way, weird years that's good news for the Royals. Great news.
I would give you the stats because, like, it'd be easy enough to be like, well, how many would they need, right, to get there?
But yeah, what's the pace for the Royals to get to 95?
The Royals would need to win 28 of their final 38 games. So they need to go 28-10.
To get to what?
97.
Okay. They don't need to get to 97.
I don't think they're going 28-10 to wrap up the season.
I still would lock in. Like, right, actually, let me ask you that. Like, we were going to do this tomorrow. We could talk deeper. But the over-under right now, if you went on FanDuel to just make an updated win total over-under bet.
Sure.
Is set at 87.5 wins over-under. 913-586-7965 on the text line, also on the phones. Who's not taking the over on that?
I take the over. What are you, a hater?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's loser mentality to take the under at that number. Now they're pacing three wins above that with only 38 to play.
So what's the number you would lock in then? Because I'm with you. I'd take the
90.
Over. Like, if they just
told me 90, I'd take it. It guarantees me the playoffs. I feel like I got to take it.
But not the division, but it guarantees you a playoff spot.
No, but it might get me the division. It might not, but it might.
I feel like
90 might get. I think like 91, 92 is getting the division.
I think 92.
But I take the risk. Because 90 is getting me in the postseason, and that's what I want desperately more than anything. I just told you everyone else is mediocre. Get through the wild card round, and you might find yourself in equal footing with a lot of other teams in the divisional round.
Plenty of flawed baseball teams in the American League. I just saw the Yankees last night blow a game in the extra innings against the Tigers up in Williamsport for the Little League World Series and the Little League Classic, whatever that they do. Their bullpen didn't hold a lead for them. And they've got their own problems, too. That's the Yankees, who people think are the best team maybe in the American League.
The Orioles
have injuries throughout their rotation. You know, yes, they have Gunnar Henderson in a great lineup, but they've got injuries in the rotation. And you just keep going through some of these American League teams. There's flaws on every single one.
Yeah. I mean, the Royals, too. They can just be like,
what about your bullpen?
But, you know.
But that's my point, is like every single team in the American League. You know, right now, one of the scarier teams in the American League, just because of experience. I think the Houston Astros might be one of the scariest teams right now, the way they're playing.
Well, they have played in been in the title game for the American League like 5 straight years or something. I mean, haven't they just played in the ALCS five straight years?
They've done what the Chiefs have done in terms of going to American League championships and versus, you know, AFC title games for the Chiefs. I mean, it's
the ALCS. I feel like they've been there like, is it 4 years in a row, 5 years in a row? Do you remember what the run is for them? It's pretty impressive. They have played in the They played in the ALCS last year, won the World Series the year before that, lost the World Series before that, were in the ALCS the year before that, lost the World Series. Oh my God, it's way more than I thought. They have played in the ALCS 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 consecutive years. They've been ALCS.
It's like the Chiefs.
They went to the World Series 4 of those years. So they've been to World Series for the last 7 years. Yeah, I'm officially rooting for them. Come on, Mariners. Come back through. Knock the Astros off their perch. I don't want that team anywhere near the postseason.
I think the Astros are winning the AL West right now. You know, potentially could end up being the number one. You know, there's a chance that they could end up being, you know, the top seed in the American. They'd have to get pretty hot to get to the number one seed. You wouldn't like that. But even if they're not the number one seed and they just win the division, if the Royals stay as the sixth spot, you could be talking about the Royals going to Houston in the opening round of the postseason.
Nightmare fuel. That's how to get a short postseason run. Not that they can't beat them, but that's just not the team. They've been in 7 straight ALCSs. You should want to avoid them until the last conceivable moment.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's the same Astros team of the past because they also were horrific the first 2 months of the season.
Really,
but now they look more like, you know, the Astros team people expected. Perhaps heading into the season, that division, you know, the Rangers fell way off and the Mariners have their issues despite a good rotation. They can't score. The Mariners just simply cannot score any runs. So
yesterday in the Chiefs game, or 2 days ago, sorry, it's a Saturday. I'm all thrown off by the preseason schedule. It makes no sense. 2 days ago for the Chiefs preseason game, I did not get my wish, Gold. I had kindly requested that the Chiefs hand the ball to Carson Steele 15 times from snap one and give me every last look to find out if he's running back two. And you know what they did instead? They treated him like he's already running back two. Is he just running back two and we're good here? Because if they're going to act that way, then I'm just going to have to trust that they're comfortable with that scenario going into the season. They treated him like a veteran. Gave him a couple of blocking assignments. He did his role the way he was supposed to do it. Gave the man like 3 carries and said, "Have a nice day, Carson Steele," as if they knew they had to protect their backup running back because Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not been available and that Carson Steele is already the backup.
So the best thing he did was special teams. He was great on special teams in the game on Saturday, both in the return game and on coverage, right? The fumble recovery. So Carson Steele, I don't think anybody's questioning. To me, and I think you agreed even after the first preseason game, to me, he was making the roster. Now he's just kind of put that in stone.
Yeah.
It's not even a question. I'll push back and give you an alternate theory on why maybe he didn't get as much run in the backfield. You're right that I think they did it to protect him. As in, hey, we know he's making the team. We need him. I'm not 100% sold still that he is actually the number two running back. I wouldn't want him. That's just me. I know that's
the
minority.
You'd still be in the veteran market?
I would still be. That's a minority opinion. I think most fans love the guy. I get it. The whole hair, everything. He's going to be
a crocodile. I mean, it's hard not to like the person.
He's going
to
be a fan favorite. He already is, I guess, a fan favorite. I would counter and say, well, yeah, with Clyde not being available and then right this second, Carson Steele really being the only number two option. Yeah, I'd be protecting him, too, until you know you have another option. So that I think I agree with you, but
you're saying they're doing it in the short term and there could still be a long play.
Look, I look at the Clyde Edwards-Helaire situation, and I think he is somebody that needs to be on the NFI list or IR, and I don't know the logistics on that. We looked up the NFI list, non-football injury list, and one of the other classifications of that is long-term illness, and unfortunately, I would say what he has publicly spoken about,
I think so,
would fit into that category. And so is that a little bit of a solution on the football side of things? And then can you go find a vet that gets cut, or is there a vet that some other team was battling with a young player in their system and they're willing to trade away for a conditional 6th-round pick? That's the market I am still very much interested in. I agree with you. They're protecting Carson Steele. They know he makes the roster. Hey, right now he would be our number two, so we can't afford for him to get hurt because our number three is Denarik Prince, who had a nice preseason game, but we don't want him as our number two. So if there's not a vet on the market after the 27th when cuts happen, then it's him, you know, or a trade, then it would be Carson Steele. But I think some of it is, like, from a number standpoint, you can't afford for him to get hurt because then you really don't have anybody behind Pacheco.
Yeah, there's just no safety net. The reason why I think they'll go with Carson Steele is the unknown with Clyde. Unless they have just decided this isn't going to work, his lack of availability is too much of a concern for us that we're going to do what you say, like put him on the non-football injury list and just wash away a month. And if they're just going to play it week to week, the way they used to do it with Frank Clark, where on Tuesday, Frank Clark practiced, and then on Wednesday, he had a tummy ache, and then they wouldn't have him practice, but then come Sunday, he'd be available, and they would play it week to week with him. If they're not going to do that, you're probably right. They are going to go to the veteran market. I kind of think that they signed Clyde, and they paid Clyde, and they trust Clyde when he's on the field, even if he's not practicing, that their current plan is, if Clyde's available, we good, and if not, Carson Steele time. Because what you're talking about is a handful of snaps. 5 to 7 carries, maybe. Maybe, depending on the game. Probably a little bit less. Most games, maybe 3 to 5. And they used him. They put him in like every little tiny situation, including special teams, felt confident with him, and then pulled him out of the damn game. They were protecting him to be on the roster no matter what. I kind of feel like they're just going to play, you know, roll the dice a little bit. Because as much as the NFL trade deadline is not an active market, if there was one thing you could probably easily acquire at the trade deadline in the NFL, some second string veteran running back off of somebody else's team. That's not going to cost you much. That's not going to be hard to find. You don't have to make the decision now. This is one of those very few times where I would say, you don't have to rush it. You can just go into week one saying, Clyde when he's healthy and Carson Steele either way.
Oh, they definitely can find somebody mid-season. I would argue the same thing. You're right. Like, trade deadline or the same thing after camp, though. Everybody here locally gives the Carlos Hyde example when the Chiefs traded away Carlos Hyde a couple years ago.
It was pretty late in the postseason, but I don't remember when.
That was right after cuts. Right before cuts or something. So I think if they actually think that they need the extra body, they can easily go and acquire that once the 27th comes.
Yeah, I think that it's, again, I'm just not feeling overly pressured to do it.
Carson Steele was great on special teams, though.
He was. I didn't even know the guy's name until camp started. He definitely made the roster, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not even a question anymore.
Right? How could it be? How could it not? How could it not be?
He's turned out to be the not just the story, but also the results that everybody was maybe hoping LRZ would be. And it's unfair to LRZ because he's never played football, but he's doing what people are like, oh, wow, this is going to be a weapon. Well, now everybody's talking about Carson Steele being this unfound weapon.
I saw LRZ return one kick. He returned a kick in that game.
I think that's right. He was back there. He also had a kickoff again. Kicked the ball off.
Well, they're, again, trying to, like, I still think they want the tackler. Like, they want that to be an available option, but because Justin Reed hadn't been available for a huge chunk of preseason, they didn't feel like they could still I wouldn't be surprised if week four they go right back to Justin Reed because they're not covering the kicks very well.
It's a possibility.
I just think they had moved on from that plan in the temporary because they couldn't use Justin Reed. They kind of want to see how it works. This is the way to practice it without Justin Reed by having LRZ do it. It's a good safety.
Was there anybody else? We'll get to the offensive line in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Was there anybody else that was further down the depth chart? Like Carson Steele stood out again. Was there anybody else? Jayden Hicks once again stood out again on the field. Was there anybody else that surprised you?
I didn't think Remigio did as much as he needed to like. Team. Yeah, I think he needed to do more. So like on the opposite end, I wanted to see more out of Remigio if he was going to like snag Sky Moore's spot. Like if he was going to steal a spot from somebody, he was going to need to do more in that preseason game. Good news for him. He'll have preseason game number 3 to technically make an opportunity of that again. They'll make sure he's in. He'll have a chance to shine one more time. But yeah, the same guys do stand out. Hicks, again, where you're like, there's going to be a place. They're going to be a home for you
Hicks
here.
Hicks and Carson Steele, and Xavier Worthy were the three players at, the skill position players, really, that kind of stood out.
You were blown away by Carson Wentz.
I mean, it doesn't matter. He's a veteran backup. I feel great about the backup quarterback situation. If you're in that spot in the playoffs, we've seen it play out before. Yeah, I think he's one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league.
Do you think he's better? Do you agree with Bink that he's better than either current starting quarterback in the AFC West? So Gardner Minshew.
His name is starter.
Who the hell's, who's Herbert's backup? They just cut
Easton Stick.
Easton Stick. Oh, he's definitely better than none of those guys, right?
I mean, is he better than Bo Nix? I don't even know if he's starting for the Broncos.
Oh, that's the other one, Bo Nix.
The Broncos haven't even named him a starter, although I think that's going to happen today or tomorrow.
Bo Nix, baby, another good weekend.
At least I'll say this about Bo Nix's performance, Drew. At least his yards per attempt wasn't 5.8 like it was in
he's
week one.
It
was over 8 yards this go around. That was good performance from Bo Nix. There's no reason he shouldn't be their starter. I don't know why Sean Payton won't just give him all the first team reps. To me, that's a mistake.
He's practically gushing over him over the course of training
just
camp.
Just name
anyways.
Him the starter and see what happens. Bo Nix, I mean, there should be some reason for Broncos fans to be slightly excited. But what's the level of excitement? Like instead of being a 6-win team, they're a 9-win team. You know what I mean? That's fine for Bo Nix, though.
Yeah, they got to hope that they got it right.
The playoffs with 9 wins. Who knows?
Every year, one quarterback taken later is going to be better.
The Steelers won 9 games last year. They made it, didn't they?
But in the AFC, but your Cincinnati Bengals helped them out by not having a quarterback available. But like
that's true.
In the AFC North, there could be 3 teams that make it this year again.
Does feel that way once again?
I just don't know if 9's getting you in this year's AFC.
I think 10 and 7. the five best quarterbacks in the AFC. I just think all five of those, if healthy, are making the postseason.
I mean, that's what you were saying last year, too. And I don't know.
And I think the Bengals probably make the postseason if Joe Burrow stays healthy. Like,
yeah, it'll come down to that again. So, yes.
If Josh Allen did. Mahomes did. I mean, all the other guys I would say are the best quarterbacks in the league did.
I mean, Tua, do you think the Dolphins make it?
I think they're probably another wild card team.
Do you think the Bills potentially get knocked out?
I think the Bills win the division. So there's two teams in the – and then the Jets are still there. Like, you're right. Injuries can happen. But would it surprise you if I told you that the AFC East was the team this year that had three teams get in? I just don't know if the – I don't think the AFC West getting two teams in the playoffs, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Whether it's nine wins or ten wins.
Nine gives you a shot, I think, more than – obviously where they were at last year.
All right, coming up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk more about what we saw from Patrick Mahomes in that game, as well as an offensive lineman that looks better and better.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at Heartland Men's Health.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
.com. Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. Also, don't forget, we've got our national cash contest going on. You can download the Odyssey app, listen to 96.5 The Fan for an hour, and you're entered to win $1,000 with five winners per day through Friday, August 23rd. That is this Friday, as a matter of fact. Days are all getting together. We've for Vegas in a couple days as well. You excited for that? 107 degrees on Wednesday.
I have not started the packing process.
Well, neither have I.
I'm usually on top of that. I'm a little behind.
Yeah, we're not there that long. We're there Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, and back Saturday.
Three days.
This is definitely a pack tomorrow night, Wednesday morning type of thing.
Wednesday morning? Couldn't be me.
The flight's Wednesday evening.
No chance. I'm not packing Wednesday morning.
At 6 p.m., guys.
I got a routine. I'm not packing Wednesday morning. I got to get kids off to school.
Yeah, I mean, like...
You know, starting tomorrow.
Most of it will be done the night before, but there's certain things you can't pack till after Wednesday morning. Things you need.
Well, yeah, sure. Toiletries, mostly. Yeah.
Cody's showing up to airports like 4 hours early.
Not four hours early, but early.
Okay.
Our new airport
I'm also very early.
I don't mind showing up early at our airport. But no, we're off the air Wednesday at 2. I will run home, let the dog out, drop the dog off at my parents' house to watch her while I'm gone, and then I'll head to the airport. So I'll be there probably 45 minutes after you are. The flight, we leave basically at 6 o'clock. Plenty of time to go settle down and have a beer before the flight.
You I just determined go out on be. Wednesday night, or are you not messing around?
I might get dinner.
Yeah.
Mm. Still got to do a show, you know? Still got to work Thursday?
We're on at 8 a.m. Vegas time. We can't really go out.
Get after it.
Yeah, it was like...
But no, I'm looking forward to it. And then we'll hopefully set the stage for October when we're planning on hosting a Chiefs party out there for Raiders week, trying to get Drew to come out for that one as well with us. So yeah, it should be a good week. And it also we'll be inside most of the time because it is going to be 100. It's a dry heat though. 107. It's a dry heat.
Right. You can keep trying to talk me into that, but it's hot.
Make sure you bring lotion.
110 is hot no matter where you are.
Lotion? Sunscreen?
Yeah, no, just lotion, period, because your skin's going to get dry. Yeah. Your skin's
I got
be
sunburn at the lake.
Super
like
dry.
One side of my nose is very red right now and like dry as hell. It's very uncomfortable.
Why did you get burned just on the one side of your nose?
It was already really dry. I was already dealing with some dry skin there anyway, and then it got burnt. So, you know, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Mm. So, yes, Drew, you were correct. Dry air.
Dry skin
out
is,
in Las Vegas. Tough. Looking forward to it, though.
Can't wait. It'll be fun. Honestly, we're going to have a lot of fun.
While the Chiefs are playing in their final preseason game, we'll actually be out there and look at the final preseason game.
I'll find it on the screen somewhere at Circa when I'm betting on something else.
Yeah, I won't be betting on that in particular. I will say, though, out of the preseason game we just watched, and we're expected to hear from Andy Reid in about 10 minutes, by the way. We'll head out to Arrowhead for an update. Don't you feel better about Kingsley Suamataia?
Look,
there was no competition all camp. We've discussed that. And now we're starting to see why there was really no competition. He's holding his own. He's looking really good out there for a rookie, but also there were times where you kind of watch, you're like, okay, that doesn't look like a guy that's playing his first snaps in the NFL.
I know they weren't playing all of their starters, but more on defense than offense yesterday. The Lions had, I think, arguably the best defensive line in football last year. I mean, it was a really, really good defensive line. Multiple double-digit sack guys, maybe one of the best guys in the league already in Aiden Hutchinson. They're a dangerous unit. They can get to the quarterback and can do it consistently. I don't know. Maybe I'm overconfident. My fears of Kingsley. I've got. He's like list 15, like of the things I'm the most worried about. Week one or starting week one for the Chiefs and their quest for three straight Super Bowls. Kingsley Suamataia is officially like 15th on the list. I want to figure out backup running back. I want to figure out corner two is probably number one with a bullet. Say,
I'm impressed you have 15. Point. I don't know if you just said that because of Mahomes, but
I don't know that I have 15 concerns.
I mean, honestly, there might only be like five or six concerns I have heading in the season, period. And this is a team going for a three-peat and there's not much change.
And he's at the bottom of the list, right?
Yeah.
Like he has moved to the bottom of the concern list. Like I'll get to that problem later if it's even a problem at all. I do think you're right in that, like, when we got into the season and you and I thought we were going to be talking about this battle all training camp and go back and forth and back and forth, they got like a week into this thing and it's like, so Kingsley's just got the job, right? And you and I'd sit on the show and then Nate Taylor'd come in and be like, so Kingsley just has the job? And he's like, yeah, everyone agrees. But now we see why. Wanye was fine. He was serviceable. In his four games last year, filling in for an injured Donovan Smith, he did not let the whole thing fall apart, which is exactly what you want out of a backup left tackle. But if they've told you from day one, this guy's already better and clearly better, well, then at least I know I'm getting Donovan Smith level play. I honestly think we're going to get better than Donovan Smith level play. I wouldn't be surprised if we got to the end of the year and you just got like, and gave up two sacks all year and he was like the 12th best left tackle. I'm that confident.
Boy, it'd be nice
what I'm seeing in Kingsley.
It'd be nice for another 4 years to be feeling just like you don't have to worry about that side of the
offensive line. You don't have to pay for
line.
It, and you don't have to worry about it.
On the flip side, I will say still, after watching Lucas Niang play a little bit and then knowing we don't know the long-term outlook still on Jawan Taylor, maybe we'll get some more clarity today. That is the area that I'm more focusing suddenly on the offensive line. Not to mention
that's a bigger concern than Kingsley all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, well, because if you have a rookie on the left who's looked good, but then all of a sudden on the right side, it's Lucas Niang. And
or an 85% Jawan Taylor in week one.
So hopefully Taylor's good to go. For this season, not really worried about the offensive line, except for that. Now, am I surprised, though, offensive line-wise, that Creed Humphrey's extension hasn't happened yet? Yeah, and maybe it's going to happen like the week of the first game. We see that happen where the Chiefs play that Thursday, and they announce the Friday before the Monday of the week, and all of a sudden there's a brand-new contract 4 days before the season. Maybe that's how this is going to all go down, because Nate Taylor was surprised by it, too, last Friday, that the new deal's not there for Creed Humphrey. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, and he again said soon, so...
Everybody thinks it's happening.
They just sign Creed so I can stop thinking about that one? That one feels like a lock, right? They're going to sign Creed.
Nobody.
He's not making any noise like the other players who want contracts.
Yeah, but that's not.
Creed's a man of his word, you know?
No reason.
Not like Jamar Chase. He shows up to his job. He does his work.
Yeah, that's true.
Jamar Chase is there and everybody.
It's a sit-in. He's holding in. Man's not working.
They are making it
so. Just eating in the cafeteria, going home.
They are making it, Adam Schefter, whoever's reporting on it, is making so much bigger of a deal about it than it actually is.
You sure?
Jamar Chase has already got his option for next year. It's Justin Jefferson's situation was the exact same. He threatened to hold out. He played. He got paid the next year. Jamar Chase still has two more seasons in a Bengals uniform. He's going to get paid next offseason in all likelihood, just like every other wide receiver does in the option year.
I have decided
before it. It's fine.
T. Higgins is a perfect candidate for... Like, Drew's like, he's got to have a good year to get paid. This is exactly what's going to happen. Higgins is going to get dinged up a little bit. He's going to play, like, 10 games. He's going to finish with, like, 502 yards. And then he's going to be with the Chiefs on a one-year deal for $8 million.
Perfect.
And have, like, 950 yards. That's exactly how this is going down. I can already predict.
He has some pressure
Higgins
on him this
future.
Year.
That would be great if that's
really
the scenario.
I hope that he doesn't make that decision. I'll be totally honest. You just go to anybody else other than the division and the Chiefs, help out your former team out just a little bit. You know, you can still get paid because if he wants to get, this is the thing. If he wants to get paid, it's going to be a lot like the situation with Brandon Ayuk, I think, where if you want to get paid all of the money you want to, you're not going to go to a good football team. That's just the way that it's going to be because they're not going to pay for you. Unless it's maybe the Green Bay Packers have some money.
I mean, if it's a good team that has a quarterback on a rookie deal,
the Bears have some money.
You know, there's
teams. Some reason that the Texans are.
Yeah,
Texas. They need another wide receiver. They got like 72
of them. Stephon Diggs might only be there for 1 year, though. Remember?
Yeah, okay. Like a Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Like, I mean, do they need more wide? Do they have room for any more wide receivers?
But yeah, there's some pressure on team.
A lot of pressure, but also
the 1 year
just come play for the Chiefs.
The 1 year, $15 million wide receiver added in would be. If it was T, it would be a little frustrating. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, if he's next year's Hollywood Brown. Well, they seem. I don't know if they'll keep up this system forever. But their current system of operation for the last, like, 3 years is, hello, veteran, who is about 27 years old, who needs to put a little something on tape to get that multi-year deal from someone else, come on down to Kansas City, play one season, and then we'll see you later. We'll shake hands and go about our way.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's worked two out of the last three. Last year, they didn't have that guy. That individual didn't exist. They did not bring back Juju, and he didn't have a good year anyway. He's kind of done. But, yes, the 1 year of Juju and the now 1 year of Hollywood Brown, assuming he gets back healthy, both should pan out pretty well for them on the one-year trial. Last year, they just didn't have that guy.
As a reminder, if you're new to this show, I'm Cody and he's Gold. But also,
hello.
We live stream the show over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Over on YouTube, Kelly has a simple question. Says, are you going to play the song? Am I allowed to play the song today?
It's a new week.
It is a new week.
You told me Monday or Tuesday, and then you said or Wednesday, which felt like it was pushing it pretty late.
Yeah, sometime early this week. Is today the day you want to do it?
This feels a little bit like my strip club dodging in the sense that no one seems to be giving me. Well, we can't play it. Andy Reid's getting ready to speak. Can we play it in the 1 o'clock hour?
You wanted to do it today? Or you wanted to wait? Maybe you pay off your bet, and then that same day, it can be a great day. You can have your song, and you can have your first strip club experience in Vegas. Same day. I guess it wouldn't be on Wednesday. That'd be Thursday, because we're not in Vegas till after the show.
You can debut
then it doesn't
song.
Play till Friday. That's so late.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. What song are you not willing? Are you not willing to disclose what song you covered?
Does it matter? Will that make it more likely to play soon?
Well, I'm saying that if you did like
we've never done that before.
You wouldn't
show.
Do it now, but if you did low, for example, if you covered low, you could debut it at the strip club.
Oh no, I'm afraid it is not low.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much away, obviously, because we might play it later in the show today. I think we probably should.
I see it. There it is. I haven't heard it, but I see it.
I will tell you. How about this?
Play a half second of it.
This is something we've never done before. I will tell you, rather than play a half second, I will tell you the artist I covered, And then in the 1 o'clock hour, we can play it. The artist I covered for the song about us becoming the fan is Queen. So that's all you need to know.
Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Queen. That's who I decided to cover. A notoriously difficult voice.
I can just picture him.
I
can just
think I know what song you did.
I can just picture him saying at the beginning of the song, "We are the fan."
Queen.
That's the what answer. I could picture in this song.
Doom-doom-ch. Doom-doom-ch. Doom-doom-ch.
So coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, my song about us changing to the fan will air. I think we'll do it in the 1 o'clock hour. That way you give anybody plenty of time. If they want to get out of here, it's not too late.
And again, if you're new to this song, No Time for AM. I can just see it now. I can see it. That's the song.
Does it come with a music video, a live performance?
It does not come with a music video. Maybe a live performance down the road. We'll see. But you know, the song is done.
So is today, that you sure you want to try to sing it today or play it today?
I think it'd be nice to play it today.
Okay.
One time, 1 o'clock hour. And then, you know,
I got a message from a listener.
Oh, no.
This is always going to be a problem for you. The pass is still out.
I'm playing it today unless he vetoes it.
The pass is out there. I'll share one message I got. This was on Friday. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, if you can push the Cody song to Vegas, I'll use my pass then.
Wow. Well, not to Vegas. I want to play it today.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either use that pass and deny me my option to play the song, or you can keep saving it until you know the next song.
Here's why I have to try to do this. He says, if I can get you to push it to Vegas and then I block you in Vegas, so he'll donate $100 to the show fund.
He'll donate money? Oh.
So that's how badly he doesn't want to hear you sing.
Well, no, this is the thing.
That's like a week old at that point. We'd have been the fan for 2 weeks.
I do think, though, that there's...
Someone says, I need to bump him till tomorrow anyway. He's talking about a song during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. It shouldn't be allowed.
Talking about a song in the Chiefs Red Half Hour?
Yeah, you should not take over the Chiefs Red Half Hour with your song talk. Mm.
It was 2 minutes. Take over.
The thing, though,
we were talking about Kingsley Suamata. Yeah, we expect to hear from Andy Reid soon. I didn't see any problem.
It's blocked now, though, then theoretically you just play it. You would just play it tomorrow. It's not like there's a delay. It's not like it's blocked for a certain period.
Yeah, but I'm sick of waiting. You know, and
well,
he knows that.
I understand.
Kurt knows that. He knows that. Like, I wanted to play it last Wednesday, and I got told, or last Tuesday. What day was it? What day did we start? Thursday. I wanted to play it last Thursday, got told no. Then I said, well, you know, first week's probably no good. Then we waited a whole weekend, and now it's Monday.
It sounds like he's got a decision to make then, because if
does.
You want to play it today, then he needs to block it today then, I guess.
The solution has been provided in the text line, and they're correct. Next year in the garage sale, multiple veto passes will be up for grabs. Multiple passes.
I'm just never going to sing on the show again.
I'm going to offer up 10 of them.
I'm not saying that
and then we'll never get a song.
Cody, I don't hate the songs, but if you're going to veto it, I think it should be vetoed for a longer period of time than just a one time you want to play.
Well, that's on the person who put it up there. Should have said a 72-hour pass or something.
Next year, we'll make some adjustments.
Mm-hmm. That's all we're talking about. Just
right, now we're expecting Andy Reid to speak, but might get pushed closer to noon. We'll kind of play that by ear. But at some point here in the next 15 minutes or so, we are expecting to hear from Andy.
You and I both are like me on preseason football, but obviously Mahomes makes it worth watching when he does things like throw a behind the back pass, for instance. Do teams have to actually prepare for this?
No.
What I saw is the initial reaction I saw from people was, well, now they got it on tape.
No.
Everyone's going to have to prepare for Patrick Mahomes to throw it behind his back. I think the no-look pass was very real in that. When he started doing that, teams did actively have to prepare for what it was like to guard against him throwing a no-look pass. He still does it. He does it regularly.
Other quarterbacks do it, too.
Other quarterbacks do it. Stafford's, he threw one that was nuts in the Super Bowl that was a no-look pass. So it is part of the planning process. But like similar to the left-hand throw, in my opinion, you can't waste practice time saying, what if we do everything right in this play and Mahomes just decides to flip it behind his back? If you're an NFL team, if you decide to focus on that, you've already lost. You've already lost the game to the Chiefs anyway.
I don't think. I mean, we could ask a former NFL player to get, maybe this is a good text to our guy, Sean Barber, but I just don't think a team going in, let's say you're Baltimore week one, now that you saw Mahomes throw an 8-yard behind the back pass to Travis Kelce, now you're actually worried that you're going to see that again. I'll be like, I would also roll the dice and basically dare you. Like, there's no way you're doing that in back-to-back games. There's no way you're doing that in week one of the season. So no, I'm not. There's way more things I need to be worried about if I'm a linebacker or somebody on the Ravens than worrying if that's the play that Mahomes is going to go behind his back.
I don't know if you prep it any differently than just knowing that the shovel pass could come that way, because it's
prep that way too.
Because he's not going to throw a behind the back pass on like a flat route or whatever.
It's
going to be to somebody right in front of him.
He's not throwing 30 yards down the field behind his back.
He snaps the ball and he just turns around on purpose just so he can do it. I don't think so.
It's going to have to be fluid and in motion. Sorry, I was briefly laughing at some of the suggestions. They said maybe it's fan bottom girls. You make the sports world go round.
See, Drew, we're back to the song.
Or 6'10 bites the dust. Which is also very strong.
See, we're back.
Anyway, but so
we tried to transition. Oh, and then you go back to it.
The text line was funny. I give the text line credit for their humor. But when we look at the behind the back, I just think you can't. That's what really gets him in his best moments. His best moments are unscripted. I know for the people who are trying to tell me, I think they made it up. I think that they did it and they just tried to underplay it. It was planned to go behind the back. I don't think so. And the reason why is his best moments like that or in a live game when it matters. When he puts his ball in his left hand and he throws it against Denver, when he did that little flip to Clyde that eventually ended up in a touch, all of those things.
I think the
his moments are improv.
They are, no doubt. And this was, I think, improvised, even if it was like a shovel pass already. Yeah. But when he had the pass to Clyde, for example, like that was in that moment, it seemed like almost a necessity for him if he wanted to try to complete the play. Let's hear from Andy Reid. We'll see if the audio quality is good enough for us to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Johnson just had a slight hamstring strain from the game. And then Truman Jones, his knees bothered him a little bit. Chris Jones is still coming back, feel much better. McCade, and then Winchester with that AC sprain, we're just going to hold him out. We've signed a center. They'll come in and do the long snapping for us this week until he gets back. As far as the rotation goes for the Bears, I'll probably set the starters the way it looks right now, and we'll have the other guys get out there and play. So we'll just see how that goes rep-wise. With that, time's yours.
You've done it both ways in that final preseason game, starters play, starters not play. What goes into that?
Yeah, so I look at kind of number of plays between camp and preseason games. You know, we were up some 50 plays from the year before in camp, so I was able to monitor that and work it in with the preseason game. So.
I should know this, but I'm not sure. Did you end up actually having more camp days because of adding that window at the start than you've had before, or is
it
just
the same?
Same number?
Yeah. Okay. We just didn't have to go inside. And sometimes when we go inside, you have to cut back a few plays, you know, just with the tight walls there, tight space.
Any position group that you're really focused on watching on Thursday night?
Really all of them. When you look at it, we're playing so many young guys. And I want to see where we're at there. We didn't block and tackle very well with that second and third group, and both sides of the ball. And so I really want to give them more of an opportunity. Sometimes the ones get a lot of reps during camp practices, and let's get these guys some more reps here. And then especially when we're getting ready to cut down, get a little better feel on those guys in a game situation. So. I think this will be valuable for a lot of them. I can't tell you one position. You know, I'm trying to look at all of them and just see where we're at here.
Andy, Saturday was the first game that Nazia played in over a year. Just what were your takeaways from his performance and just how beneficial the last training camp been for him?
Yeah, I actually thought he did a pretty good job. Yeah, he did a pretty good job. He was a little bit sore coming out of it, but I thought he... I thought he played well, and his man coverage stuff I thought was good. So,
and if you could expand on just that position more generally, I mean, but obviously you lost Snead, Spags, you're looking for sort of another
sure.
two corner. Just what you think of that group as a whole, but not Jalen could factor in the first two.
Yeah, well, we've got some guys that can play. We need to see Jalen get out there, and if he can play, then play, and then. see where he's at. But some of those other guys have grown and shown some good stuff. We'll just see. We'll see how it goes. Might be a committee over there, but it's there is some talent there. Yeah.
Do you have a sense whether some of the guys who have been injured are going to be ready to go when you guys get started against Baltimore? Guys like Chris Jones.
Yeah. I think all those guys will be ready. The only one in question would probably be Hollywood.
Juwan Taylor.
Yeah. They all should be ready.
Kingsley got some extended playing time on Saturday. That was the first really long look. What were the thoughts on him coming out of that?
Yeah, I thought he did some good things. He, his pass protection was solid. His run game actually was very good. And he came out with things to work on. You know, there are a couple little technique things that he can work on. I think the thing we're finding, you give him something and he'll try it in a live situation. So, and he was able to give him a couple things that can help him.
Talk to Justin Watson in a few moments here. Just how important has he been these past few years, especially now, just considering Brown won't likely play in the next year?
Yeah, he's been a valuable guy. I mean, throughout last year, on third down, he did a tremendous job for us. And smart, can play all the different spots, can go all day. I mean, he can run all day, and he runs like a deer. So he's been very valuable to us.
Yes. Talk about the fact that you wanted guys to make it difficult for you to make the decision. How difficult do things feel now heading into this final preseason game?
Yeah, so I think there's going to be some, some tough moves. And that's why I like to give him some extended play and just see where we're at. Maybe there's a divider in there that something shows up. And it was good competition and really all those roles, but there's some great competition. We'll see how they do. Yeah.
Last one, Blair.
I'm just wondering where things stand with Clyde. And you shared with us last couple weeks ago, I guess, is his deal.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just, we're just playing it kind of by ear and how he feels. He started feeling better the day of the game, and then he's felt pretty good yesterday. So we're headed in the right direction here. It's a sensitive deal. We're trying to, learn as we go here with it. So.
Is there any possibility he could start the season on injured reserve?
I haven't even gone there yet. So with Brett, and Brett, he might have a plan there, but I haven't really talked to him about that. We're trying to get him back out there and make sure he was comfortable, where he can function.
You expect to be out there today?
Yeah. Right now, I think, yeah. Okay. We'll see. But right now, that's right. Yeah.
Thanks,
all right, so that was Andy Reid. We're going to react a little bit to what he had to say about the plan on Thursday. Also, some guys that will be back, he says, by the start of the season. We'll also get to what's trending here on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.